Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A federal judge looked at a 16-year-old accused of killing his stepsister and decided he could go home. That was February. The same judge, same courtroom, same defendant, same allegations, just wrote that this kid displays, quote, a level of psychopathy and lack of remorse and could, quote, snap at any time. Magistrate Judge Edwin Torres didn't just change his mind. He used words that federal judges spend their entire careers avoiding. And when you understand what happened between February and June, what landed on his desk, what shifted under the legal surface, and what's still sealed from public view, the question stops being why Timothy Hudson is finally behind bars. The question becomes why it took so long. And why did the judge change his mind? What did he see that he just couldn't look past now? Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. Here's where we are. Timothy Hudson, 16 years old, accused of first-degree murder and the most serious charges imaginable against his 18-year-old stepsister, Anna Kempner, aboard the Carnival Horizon in November of 25. Hudson surrendered to U.S. Marshals after Judge Torres revoked his pretrial release. He's currently at Citrus County Jail. He'll be transferred to a juvenile facility at Miami-Dade's Metro West Detention Center by July 10th. He pleads not guilty. He's entitled to the presumption of innocence, and the September 8th trial hasn't moved. Between now and that trial, Hudson will be preparing his defense from inside a facility, not from an uncle's living room. Reportedly in a house with other minors. We need to talk about how we got here because the timeline says a lot. February 6th, Torres releases Hudson to the custody of his uncle. Electronic monitoring, strict conditions, all under the rules of the Federal Juvenile Delinquency Act. April 10th, the case is officially transferred to adult prosecution. That transfer had been in the works for weeks. Hudson himself signed a written waiver back in February requesting to be tried as an adult. That I found interesting, too. April 13th, 3 days after the adult transfer is finalized, prosecutors filed a motion to revoke Hudson's release until the Bail Reform Act. May 27th, Hudson walks into federal court in Miami for a hearing on that motion. He walks back out. Torres keeps him free. And then June 8th, prosecutors file what they described as newly disclosed supplemental information. This is filed under seal. Contents unknown to the public. 2 days later, June 10th, Torres files the order revoking Hudson's release. That order was also sealed until Hudson surrendered and the filings were unsealed.
There's something prosecutors brought to this judge between that May hearing and the detention order, filed under seal, contents that we haven't seen. And whatever was in it was powerful enough to reverse a federal judge who'd been defending his own release decision for 4 months. And we'll get to what we know about that in just a moment. But first, I know people are going to ask this, why was he ever free in the first place? Why did it take from November to June to put someone accused of these charges behind bars? And the answer, whether you like it or not, is that the system was working the way it's designed to work. Want to change it? Vote for different people. Slowly, carefully, within the rules that governed at the time. And the interpretation of them by said judge. When Hudson was arrested and charged in February, the case was being handled under the Federal Juvenile Delinquency Act. That's a completely different legal framework than what governs adult defendants. Under the JDA, the presumption tilts towards rehabilitation, family-based custody. The tools available to the judge are narrower. Torres wasn't ignoring the severity of the allegations when he released Hudson in February. He was operating within a system that was built to treat juveniles differently. You can argue about whether that system makes sense for a case this serious. A lot of people have argued exactly that, including us, but Torres was bound by it at the time. Then when the case transferred to adult prosecution on April 10th, the legal ground shifted underneath everything again. The Bail Reform Act kicked in, different standards, broader authority to weigh danger to the community. And here's a lot of people didn't realize at the time. Prosecutors couldn't even file the motion to revoke Hudson's release until the adult transfer was finalized. They filed it 3 days later. 3 days. It's not a delay. That's not prosecutors dragging their feet. That's the fastest the system would physically let them move. And prosecutors raised something specific in that motion that I want you to remember. They argue that Hudson was living in a home where other minors were present. We made a huge deal about it last week. They argued the alleged crimes he's charged with were, in their words, among the most serious and egregious acts one person can inflict upon another. And they said no combination of conditions, no curfew, no ankle monitor, no uncle keeping watch could assure that court that the community would be safe. Remember that detail about who else was in that house, because the judge's final order is built around it. Took way too frickin' long, in my opinion, and the danger was very real to some other people while the court played, oh, we'll get to it. But they finally got to it. So Torres heard the arguments on May 27th and kept Hudson free, which was kind of shocking in its own right. The defense attorney, Evan Cool, from the Federal Public Defender's Office, told the judge that Hudson has met every single condition of his release for months. No violations, no issues, total compliance. And Torres apparently found that persuasive enough to hold the line. The kid had done what he was told. The uncle was cooperating. The system, on paper, was working. And then June 8th came. We don't know exactly what happened. What we know is that prosecutors filed new material under seal, described in court records as newly disclosed supplemental information as part of their ongoing effort to revoke Hudson's release. Whatever was in that filing, it arrived after the May 27th hearing, after the compliance argument, after months of Torres defending his own position. Something new landed on the judge's desk. And 2 days later, Torres wrote the order. And the language in that order is unlike anything he'd written about this case before. The government's evidence supporting the most serious allegation is, quote, beyond clear and convincing. The allegations suggest, quote, a level of psychopathy and lack of remorse that by itself raises a serious concern that defendant can snap at any time despite the well-meaning and serious efforts of his caretakers to make sure that does not happen. Hudson, quote, presents a danger to himself and to others that no curfew, monitor, or custodial placement can be trusted to contain. Gee, haven't we been saying a more concise version of that since this happened? Good on you, judge, to finally realize that. It's interesting, the wording, though. Psychopathy. A federal judge wrote, snap at any time. A federal judge said no curfew, no monitor, no custody arrangement. Nothing can be trusted to keep people safe from this defendant. It's amazing. You go from, hey, hang out over here, do some landscaping work. There's other kids in the house. Wait a second. That's not supposed to happen. But you can still stay there, I guess, to clear and present danger. It's not a close call anymore. That's a judge telling you he saw something that closed the door. I guess, what was it? What was it that you finally saw, Judge, the rest of us have been seeing forever? Why did it take this long to get there? And here's where the detail about the household comes back. Torres specifically addressed the nature of the alleged crime in his reasoning. He framed it this way. What allegedly happened to Anna Kempner happened to a member of Hudson's own household inside a shared private space. And the kind of danger that represents alleged violence committed by one household member against another behind a closed door is exactly the scenario where home detention, curfews, location monitoring, and third-party custody are structurally weakest. The danger, if the allegations are true, originates where the containment is supposed to happen. An ankle monitor tracks where you are. It doesn't control what you do when you get there. And when the prosecution is telling you the defendant lives in a home with other minors and the judge is writing that the alleged conduct within a household is the one thing home confinement can't address, you see why the compliance arguments stop mattering. But again, this is not information that's new to the case. These are things we've been talking about for months. The judge just now catching up. Good job. You get a cookie and a gold star. We'll get you one of those little stickers for your book it pin and get a personal pan for finally catching up to the rest of the class. Torres flagged something else, too. He wrote about the approaching September trial and expressed concern that Hudson could make another very wrong decision the closer the trial gets. Oh, you think? I mean, think about what that means. The judge isn't just looking backwards on the allegation. He's looking forward, finally. He's calculating the pressure a defendant faces as a life sentence gets closer, the stress of trial preparation, the psychological weight of ending your life. And he's concluding that a teenager already accused of the worst imaginable acts, making impulsive, horrible decisions, might not hold under that pressure. It's a forward-looking danger assessment. He doesn't trust the next 3 months. Yeah. Nobody's trusted anything from the beginning of this. The defense has built their entire pretrial strategy on one argument. He's been good. He's been a good boy. Months of compliance, no problems that we're aware of. The uncle is responsible. The monitoring works. And on paper, that argument, kind of true. Nobody disputes that Hudson met every condition. Even Torres acknowledged it in his order. No prior record, voluntary surrender, performance or perfect compliance. He wrote that all down. And then he said it wasn't enough. Not against what the evidence showed. Not against what the allegations describe. Not against what landed on his desk on June 8th. So again, what's new? What's new that what was already public facing and we already knew didn't drive you there to the beginning, Judge? I don't understand that. So where does this go? Hudson is in Citrus County Jail right now. It's a facility equipped to house juvenile detainees. By July 10th, he'll be transferred to the juvenile unit of Miami-Dade's Metro West Detention Center. Closer to Miami, closer to the federal courthouse, closer to the September trial. Torres ordered a mental health evaluation and ongoing treatment while Hudson is in custody. That evaluation matters and it cuts both ways. If the prosecution is building a case around alleged psychopathy and lack of remorse, a court-ordered mental health evaluation could produce material that supports that framing at trial. But for the defense, that same evaluation could generate evidence about Hudson's mental state, his capacity, his psychological profile, material they may need in September. Whether that evaluation helps or hurts depends entirely on what the clinicians find. Both sides are going to be watching it very closely. Hudson will have access to family visitation. He'll be able to communicate with his attorneys. He's not in isolation, but the practical reality of preparing for a federal murder trial from inside a detention facility is fundamentally different from preparing at home. The meetings with attorneys are scheduled, not casual. The access to materials is controlled. The psychological environment is institutional. The defense team, three federal public defenders, now has a client behind bars with roughly 3 months until the trial that could result in a life sentence. That changes the dynamic of every conversation, every strategy session, every decision about what to argue and how to argue it. And the defense argument is that that carried them for 4 months, compliance, stability, supervision, dead. Once Torres found by clear and convincing evidence that no combination of conditions could assure the safety of the community, the Bail Reform Act closed the door. There's no getting that back before September. Hudson goes to trial in custody. You remember, a 16-year-old signed a written waiver requesting to be tried as an adult. That decision set a certain chain of events in motion that is now where he's living inside. The juvenile framework that protected his freedom doesn't apply anymore. The adult system that replaced it weighed the allegations, weighed the evidence, and decided he's too dangerous to be anywhere but behind bars. Torres didn't do it lightly. This is a judge who defended release decisions through months of prosecution pressure, public attention, scrutiny, and a father who went on record asking that his stepson face consequences. Torres held the line at that February hearing. He held it again May 27th, and then something arrived, sealed, undisclosed, supplemental, that somehow pushed it over the edge. We don't know what it was in that filing. We may not know until the trial, but the language in the order tells you it wasn't minor. Or he just finally wised up. But the, I don't know, the verbiage tells you something. Psychopathy, snapping, talking about his behavior, lack of remorse, that tells you a lot. A danger that no supervision can contain, a judge who went from much closer call to no placement can be trusted in 4 months. Hudson pleads not guilty. The presumption of innocence applies until the jury says otherwise. The September trial is where the government has to prove every allegation beyond a reasonable doubt. None of that has changed. But the road that that trial just changed in getting to has changed dramatically. Hudson will walk into that courtroom from a holding cell, not from a family member's house. His defense team will have built their case under institutional conditions. And somewhere in the sealed record of this case, there's a filing that turned a federal judge from cautious to certain in just 2 weeks. Anna Kempner's family asked for this. Prosecutors fought for it for months, and a judge who resisted, who held the line longer than almost anyone expected, finally saw something he couldn't explain away. The trial as of now is September 8th. The defendant will be there behind the defense table in custody. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. I mean, we're finally here, so good. Good that he's behind bar. I go back to why. Why did it take this long? This seems like a pretty obvious choice. I'm no judge. I'm not an attorney. Just a layperson looking at the obvious. And then when they finally do the obvious, going, why did it take you this long? And I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe you do. There was no legal mechanism that was holding him back from doing it. It was his own judgment. It's the interpretation of the law and interpretation of evidence. Some do better than others. Some align more with our own opinions than others. Your thoughts? Comment section, Substack, YouTube, links in the description. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.